Good evening and welcome to Keyframe. My name is Mark and today we have Rob.
Hello.
Tucky.
Bonjour.
Andrew.
We're being held hostage.
We certainly are. And this is your weekly dose of anime, CGI, puppetry, live action anime, and us complaining about many, many things.
Yes.
Except not this week, because this week is actually the best of 2018.
Yes, it is.
We're going to be positive.
I was.
Gonna try.
I was so tempted because Andrew, people might not realize this, Andrew is a musician. And when he said he's being held hostage, for some reason my brain went to Grace Jones with the hula hoop going slave to the rhythm. Don't know why, Andrew.
Oh, man, I'm going to have that song stuck in my head. Oh, well.
So, Andrew, do you want to kick us off then?
Right. So probably the first thing that comes to mind for me when I say, the biggest surprise that I didn't expect to watch and enjoy is the Uma Musume, the Pretty Derby. Horse girls being horse girls and doing horse girls things. Like, how did I even manage to sit and actually enjoy that? I don't know. But it was just awesome on so many levels.
Oh, you're on about the horse girls. Yes.
Yeah.
Lots of horse girls. I actually loved the series as well. It was silly. It was fun. I expected to like it myself, though, because it was like, I mean, we did the promotion. It's just like, yeah. Anthropomorphized horse girls, and then when you get into it, it's just as silly as you think it's going to be.
It was very silly, but it was also surprisingly good as well. A bit more than I thought it would be. I thought it would just be like a silly, blatant advertising for the mobile game, which technically it was.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they made it. I watched it, and I'll be honest, it's not my cup of tea. But I could see why people would enjoy it. In the same way that Kimono Friends, I could see why people would enjoy that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a big dark horse, wasn't it?
Oh, Andrew.
I apologise for nothing. And everyone gets quiet. Oof. I'm going to struggle to get to sleep tonight because of that.
Oh.
So my turn then?
Yes, you. Please take the mic away from Andrew before he makes any more dad jokes like that.
All right, then, so...
This is Tucky we can't do.
Oh, God. So my award, this, you know, we're doing best of, so my award is Best Meme of the Year, and you may remember that in the last series, where the last episode, I should say, where it was like Meme Bait of the Year. Do not mix that up. meme bait is bad, meme of the year is good, hence best meme of the year. So just to clarify that before people went, well, you've done two meme awards. It's like, no, this is the better of two evils. And the best meme of the year, actually, it doesn't go to Pop Team Epic. It goes to Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Okay.
I know you gave it a try, Rob.
I gave it the old college try, and it just wasn't for me. I think it's just, I love the older Teen Titans far too much. Maybe that's blinding my opinions slightly, but also, I don't want to watch something and have to work to see the references.
Well, this one, it wasn't really referenced, it was the Lion King parody.
Oh, right,
all the
yeah.
superheroes. And Batman's like, you know, when he sidekick like Simba. And the thing is, it's just starting to do the rounds now, because somebody's actually like took that bit of the movie and made it into the meme. And especially with like the CGI Lion King movie that's coming out next year, it's kept relevant. Oh, I absolutely loved it, and that's why it gets my meme of the year.
The live action Lion King movie that's still animated completely.
Hence why I said CGI movie. Didn't say live action. I am not getting into that argument here.
See, is this best thing that made memes or just best overall meme?
Oh, best overall meme. Pop Team Epic did do quite a lot, and there's a lot of other little bits here and there. But for me, Teen Titans Go to the Movies, the Batman sidekick, I think it's the best animated meme of the year.
Right. Just because I'm thinking on another level in that there is only one meme that managed to unite all of the weebs under one roof. And a lot of people did do a lot of animation for it, and that is the Bowsette meme.
Bowsette, the thing is, Bowsette, I mean, we were sitting there, and we've got like our own chat with like friends who go to conventions, and like I think there's been like about 8,000 comments on this one chat, and about 4,000 to 5,000 of them will be just us going on about Bowsette, because it was a weird thing sitting there and seeing this like this one meme evolve into so much so fast.
It's ongoing. I'll end this just after this one visual thought, because it's Christmas. Someone has put the crown on Santa.
Oh, God. Please, no.
Over to you, Rob.
Okay. Anyway, I started off with best comedy. And I narrowed it down and narrowed it down and narrowed it down and narrowed it down. And I got down to a choice of four. So, two of them have things in common. But Grand Blue, which is the first anime series I've seen since Inukami, where manservice is an actual thing. Now, manservice is basically a display of elephants. You know what I mean.
What? Oh.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, right.
Not literal elephants.
No, not literal elephants. The reason I say that is because in Inukami, and in Inukami the movie, the main character ends up naked quite a lot, and one time he's flying through the air, and they basically used an elephant as a sensor patch. And when he's flying through the air one time, naked, a little boy says to his mum, "Look, mummy, an elephant." I made the comment when I reviewed Inukami the movie. Fan service is a thing, but now there's also man service.
Yeah, I mean, Golden Kamuy did it well.
Yeah.
Every week.
There were elephants in Golden Kamuy. But this is about best comedy, not best elephant.
Who is the best elephant in anime right now?
I don't know, but it's probably something to do with JoJo's. By the way, I didn't include JoJo's in any of my awards because JoJo has a place on the special shelf.
Special like its fans.
Yes.
Yes.
So, Grand Blue, Watakoi, Love is Hard for Otaku, because... I've got to be honest, that series had me laughing loads of times. And I know it's a romantic comedy in the truest sense, but it's got some very strong comedy chops in there. The Disastrous Life of Psyche K, or the second season of it, because I like him. It's not as good as Mob Psycho in certain areas, but it's better than Mob Psycho in other areas. But I've got to say, the best comedy of 2018... by a large margin, is Hinamatsuri.
Oh, which one's Hinamatsuri again?
It's the one where this psychokinetic girl barges into the life of a Yakuza and he ends up having to look after her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You probably remember. Yeah. What was it? The one picture where she's wrapped up in tin foil on the floor.
Exactly.
Oh, I had a really good one for the best comedy, but I can't remember what it's called. And it was only last season. Oh, it was about a bunch of girls where they had like a special class because special after school's club, but because they didn't have anything else to do, and every episode was just random weird stuff.
That was Asobi Asobase, wasn't it?
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, Asobi Asobase was also a potential. And as much as I liked it, I thought that those four in particular really caught my attention. Watakoi, Grand Blue, Psyche K, and Hinamatsuri. They caught my attention a lot more than Asobi Asobase, or was it Workshop of Fun?
Yeah.
I think is the other name for it. As much as I liked that series, I didn't like it as much as I liked these four.
Mm-hmm.
The true test of comedy is how many times do you laugh during a particular episode or during the series? And Hinamatsuri made me laugh actually more than Gintama.
Oh.
Mm.
Let me put it this way. One of the fight scenes is amazing. It's the girl and the Yakuza, and there's another psychokinetic girl who wants to have a fight with Hina, right? And so the Yakuza arranges it on, like, you know, the riverside with the slope that you always see in anime, yeah?
Yeah, the riverbank.
The riverbank.
Crunchyroll used it as one of their advertising.
Yeah, they used it as one of their advertising things, and it's such a good sequence. when he's trying to encourage her, he's like, I forgot what he says, it's some type of food for dinner, and Hina automatically becomes motivated because it's her favourite food. And the fact that he's telling her what to say, and she's basically coming out with this all this trash talk, but it's very clear because he's kneeling down right next to her, whispering in her ear, and she's just parroting everything that he says.
Oh, fair enough. I would say I started it and I really enjoyed it, but then I started it like the week before the new season started, so I kind of got sidelined by everything else.
Hina Matsuri is very, very good. Thing is, it reminds me a bit of Gintama as well, because the reason why Gintama succeeds with the comedy a lot more than people realise is because it's got that dark underbelly to it.
Yeah.
And Hina Matsuri has that as well, which is one of the reasons why I think it works so much better than other straightforward comedies.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So anyway, Mark.
I've got best physical standard release for this year. So I'm looking at stuff that was a few years old, but came out on Blu-ray or DVD. And these are the ones worth getting. I've got a few, and there is one that for me that was a little bit more special than the others. So overall, these are all worth picking up. There's Momotaro Sacred Sailor.
Mm.
Lupin Part 4.
Yep.
A Manchu.
Yes.
Sound Euphonium.
Mm.
ReZero Part 1. And the one that I'm going to give the award to is Gundam Thunderbolt. Just because it's a nice little 60, 70 minute Gundam film. And on Blu-ray with the high quality, it is absolutely fantastic. It's really worth every penny that I've spent on it.
And your terminal love of Gundam had absolutely nothing to do with it.
No, nothing whatsoever. It's actually been a bit of a weird year. Like, a lot of the stuff that they've actually been releasing on Blu-ray has kind of just been like, eh, okay.
Yeah.
There's not been like anything. I mean, there is two others where there have been exceptional, but it's been kind of like, oh yeah, it's on Blu-ray, I'll buy it. And there's a lot of stuff that's been missing on Blu-ray, which probably should have came out, but.
Yeah, I'll be honest. It's been a pretty odd year with physical releases.
Yeah, I think it's just due to the shake up with Sony Funimation screwing everybody over.
Well, I wouldn't say they're screwing everybody over.
Definitely. So, Andrew, what you've got next?
Oh, probably next. I was going to say probably the best sports anime. Usually, I don't watch sports anime enough, but I got recommended this by people who could watch it. I didn't watch this till just after the season ended. I decided to watch it and give it a go. It was a Hanabado.
Hanabado? Oh, Hanabido.
Yeah, Benton.
Is it Hanabado or Hanabido? I can't remember.
Hanabado.
Hanabado, isn't it? Yeah.
Badminton, the anime. And How Not to Be a Parent, the anime. I actually quite enjoyed it. Hanabado is basically badminton the anime, but also, like, as I said, How Not to Be a Good Parent the anime. The main character got abandoned as a kid because a mother wanted to play badminton, and for some reason went abroad, adopted a kid from Denmark and raised it to be a prodigy to play badminton, and now a kid back in Japan's like, oh, my mother abandoned me, I don't want to play badminton anymore. She gets dragged by her best friend to the badminton club of the school she's in, and suddenly she's thrust into badminton and starts turning into a psycho because obviously issues.
Yeah, I mean,
it was surprisingly deep for a badminton anime.
Yeah, if it was me, I'd attack my parent with the badminton racket and shove it so far up. Yeah.
But this is anime, they need to beat them in sports to show them that they're better.
Yeah, but this, yeah, abandonment issues are a thing, a real thing, and NGE fans, pay attention here. That's also the reason why Shinji wouldn't do what Gendo told him.
Well, you know? True.
Okay, we'll get into that in the new year when Netflix brings that back out.
Yes. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I just summed up the basic plot there, but the actual animation that during the actual badminton matches is absolutely superb. I actually really enjoyed that. It's like, oh wow, this is actually much more enjoyable than badminton itself.
Awesome. I'm sure you've got a sports one, Tucky.
Yeah, mine was Hinamaru Zumo, but we've been through why I absolutely love this, and the anime is like impeccable. Hanabado was actually second of my sports anime of the year. But anytime I think of badminton, if you've seen the Netflix animation series Big Mouth,
Badminton. Yeah.
That's just crazy, man.
I knew you were going that way.
But my next award goes to the best blast from the past, and this goes to Devilman Crybaby. And I absolutely love this series because, one, all of my friends were talking about it, and two, Devilman is such an amazing like series of anime, and it's so old. And for them to reinvent it and actually like drag it in the 21st century in the way they have, and they've made it a little bit more edgier because it was already pretty edgy to start with. It was a fantastic series, and it gets my Blast from the Past award.
Only thing missing from the remake was the soundtrack from the original from the 80s, because the tunes from Ant from the had on the 80s one was absolutely brilliant. Oh, I can't really speed metal. Yes.
Yeah, it's actually weird because it's like people actually forget that Devilman Crybaby was actually this year. I think it was like the very first week in January or something, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It snuck right in there. In fact, like when we get into the awards a bit more, it's actually quite amazing how many animes from like how many anime from January and early year actually sneak into like the end of year mentions and awards because. It was such a good lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same. It's like I've got six for like a short list for best overall, and four of them are from the beginning of the year. So, yeah. it's been a good beginning of the year.
Just jumping off the back of Andrew and Tucky there, two separate threads, but I actually can go get the best spots out of the way. I've got to agree with Tucky, Hinamaruzumo, but I also included Megalobox as well. I watched that after Andrew recommended it, and it was very, very good.
Yeah, I was actually quite surprised Andrew didn't put Megalobox himself.
I was going to say that I'll probably give him the award for that because it's probably going to be overall highlight of the year.
Yeah, for remake, I actually went completely different. I decided not to go with Devilman Crybaby, even though I love Masaki Yuasa's work in general. Devilman Crybaby was great, but. Mm-hmm. There was another remake that I think a lot of people have been waiting a long, long time for, and that's The Legend of the Galactic Heroes, the new thesis.
Oh, yeah, that was this year as well. And hardly has anybody watched it because it wasn't on Crunchyroll.
I watched it.
Yeah, it's on High Dive or something, isn't it?
Yeah. Just jumping off the back of that, I think there were some shows that were brought back as well this year, and I think that those... also need a look. There was Full Metal Panic, Invisible Victory.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the best one for me. The best one for me was Kino's Journey.
Was that this year?
It finished in winter, didn't it, last year?
That's another one then that just snuck in.
Yeah.
I thought it was like 2 years ago now.
No. Oh. Kino's Journey ended in December, so it ended in the winter season.
It was last year. That explains it, because I was sitting there, I was like, why is this not out on Blu-ray yet? And it's like, oh, well, that explains it, because it's like only been a year.
Just getting those out of the way, since they were mentioned, and there's no point in me bringing them up later on when they're not relevant. But best drama, for me, was my next category. And I had several options here. I had Violet Evergarden, Dragon Pilot, Hisone and Masatan, Irozoku, The World in Colours. And with this, I stuck specifically to just drama, not action or anything like that, just like pure drama. But I've got to say, the best one by far, even though Hisona and Masatan is one of the sleepers of the year for me, a lot of people didn't watch it, but it is a very uplifting show. Violet Evergarden was really good, but the best one for me, and again, this is something that Tucky recommended earlier this year, and I completely agree now that I've watched it. A Place Further Than the Universe.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. The only other one for me, I don't know if it counts as drama, is Laid Back Camp.
Laid Back Camp, I think, is a lot more lighthearted. It's more slice of life than it is drama.
Yeah.
Definitely slice of life. I got my most chill anime of the 2018 award.
The most laid back anime.
It is. It's so relaxing. Like, you could be suffering the worst stress of your life, and you just watch one episode of that, two girls camping. You know, it's there's no stress involved in it. There's no stimulation or anything. It's just, man, that cooking looks amazing.
Oh, damn it. I knew there was a category, I forgot.
I was going to put it because there has been a good amount of cooking series, or at least series that feature cooking. But I'm going to piggyback off this as well and give Laid Back Camp the award that I made called It Made Me Go Explore the Outside Award. I was going to give it to Place Further Than the Universe. However, Laid Back Camp is a more realistic one, even though it's idyllic. I try to do go out to the countryside, and it was either wet, snowing, too cold to do anything, whereas that's all nice and sunny, even though it's in the middle of winter. But yeah, Place Further Than the Universe is kind of I'm never going to go to a place further than the universe. Laid Back Camp is the actual outside for me.
It's great saying that anime can actually motivate you to go camping. I mean, camping is dull as anything unless you're absolutely drunk, in my experience. but the thing is, an anime that sells something to you, like we say in sports anime for me, Hinamaru Sumo, made me want to do sumo. And, I mean, I've got the frame for it. I just don't have, I just don't have the drive to keep it up if I was to do it. So I kind of, put that on the back burner. But it made me want to do it, which is the point. And, I mean, the badminton one, if it made somebody want to go out and do badminton, it's great to see an anime that can actually motivate you to do something and change your life.
Yeah, the reason why I went with Hinamaru Sumo instead of Hanabado for sports was purely because, being Asian, I was introduced to badminton at a very early age, along with squash. And of the two, I prefer squash.
Off record as well, my best sports series was the Pretty Derby.
Actually, another show that came back this year was Cardcaptor Sakura, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It did, yeah.
And Furikuri came back this year as well, didn't it?
Yes. Everyone forgot about that because it was a YouTube exclusive.
Yeah.
Or Toonami exclusive, it might have been. So unless you lived in America, you didn't get it.
Oh.
Unless you make trips to America via illegal means.
Dun, dun, dun. No, there are legal means to make trips to America. Google Earth and a VR helmet. Oh, look at me. I'm exploring New Orleans.
Nah, screw that. you look at Area 51 on Google Maps, the FBI will bust in. Trespassing through Google Earth. I won't put passive, it's Donald Trump, man. I mean,
you can't actually do that, it's blurred out.
Anyways,
back on any elephant sensors.
back on topic, Andrew.
Elephant sensors.
It's your turn.
Aye. The next one's a bit difficult for me because while I'm a big fan of the series itself, I wasn't a big fan of this particular incarnation, but the animation, the music for it was actually really, really good. It was the Fate Extra Last Encore animation.
All right.
One of the most convoluted retellings of a story from an old PSP game of the Fate series, which turns out has just a random spin-off sequel that has very little to do with the actual PSP game. The plot was very difficult to follow, but the actual animation, the fights, the music, it's actually really well done. Also, I was getting major Madoka Magica vibes off it, so I was pretty decently surprised. But on the other hand, that when it comes to animation and such, and just to see how beautiful the series is.
Yeah.
But also, I'd probably give the award list in just because I enjoyed the series a hell of a lot more. It's probably Violet Evergarden. You can just see the amount of effort and the amount of work and probably just dedication that's went into that series bit by bit by bit. It was I just remember watching every week and I was going, wow, it's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean,
the music and that. Love that.
It's a Kyo Ani series, so I mean, Kyo Ani seemed to go fully into everything, unless it's called Free, in which they kind of just ride the donkey until the donkey's dead and then keep whipping it until it's there. But it sells for young girls, so of course, if Kyo Ani want to give us more Free in order to sell us, get the funds to give us stuff like Violet Evergarden, what's the other one called? the Sound Euphonium spin-off.
Liz and Aoi, wasn't it?
Liz and the Bluebird, was it?
Yeah, Liz and the Bluebird, that was it, yeah.
That's what it's called, yeah. I was going to call it Liz and the Bluefish or something like that, and I was like, that doesn't sound right. But yeah, to be honest, anything Kyo Ani seems to be pretty high quality, I would say.
Yeah, even Violet Evergarden just seemed like there's that completely next level. It was very impressive for me. Like, I've seen Kyo Ani stuff before and such, and like, do come to expect a certain level of quality. But just Violet Evergarden just seemed to be just that little bit extra. Mm. Even seeing the previews a couple of years ago when they first announced, oh, we're doing an anime up there. Seeing the previews and that, it was like, oh, this is going to be brilliant. Look at the amount of effort they're putting on this preview. You can see all the individual mechanical parts on my arm. It's not something that you expect from like your standard anime series, the amount of detail that goes into the slight, smallest of little things. That's the animation alone.
It's all about timing and pre-planning, though, isn't it? Because most animators, they're like, oh, we've bought the rights to it, so we're going to have to rush this out. You know, and you get unanimated scenes and bits and bobs and missed out, but when they've actually put like the time, the effort, the concentration, a little bit of research as well, then you get something great. And
it took like what 2 years since they announced it to get Violet Evergarden out.
Yeah,
it's not a bit longer.
It's amazing when you see the titles like Violet Evergarden where they go really in depth, and it looks amazing on the small screen. And then you get to see movies like My Hero Academia on the big screen, and they don't even animate the faces.
Oh.
Yeah, we all want to run. No, it's not. This is the best of 2018. My Hero Academia can move over to like when we reminisce about like the past year. But like back to, I mean, my best animation award went to Violet Evergarden. But like you say, it is spectacularly animated. It's got a great soundtrack as well. And
yeah,
I can't really disagree. I would have to agree. Violet Evergarden was by far and away. Ever since they put out the original trailer for Violet Evergarden, you knew that the production of that series was going to be something special.
Yep.
Right. So my next award goes to the best diverse use of voice talent.
Okay.
And it goes to the whole cast of Castlevania.
Yes.
And the highlight goes to Godbrand, who's like kind of like a henchman to Dracula. I don't know if he was like, well, he wasn't one of the commanders, but he was like in the higher middle. He's like middle management for vampires.
I knew there was another series to go in the comedy. It was Mr. Tonagawa's Middle Management.
Yes.
Sorry, Tucky.
That would work about that as well. But Godbrand, like I say, the thing that won it for me was the whole quote of it's Godbrand. He hasn't met something. He hasn't killed or turned into a boat or all of the above. And his response is, what? I like boats.
All I can say to that is, nice boat.
His character is fantastic. He's supposed to be a Viking vampire, but he's got a southern, like South of America accent. It's like he could have fought for the Confederacy, but he's supposed to be like some kind of Viking vampire who shouts his name during battle. And the rest of the voice cast as well. Like I say, this is the best diverse use of voice talent. But for me, Godbrand was the highlight.
Mm. Okay, cool. Since you mentioned Castlevania, I'm going to have to jump off that. I had best horror supernatural. I only had three in this. Castlevania was one of them. And Devilman Crybaby was another. But again, both of them just got pipped by an old but classic series. Gegege no Kitaro won it.
Oh, yeah, that's been really good.
And I have to say, it won it comprehensively. It's been consistently good for decades. But I think this year, it's really pulled out a lot of the stops. Not all of them. It still feels like it's holding something in reserve. It's still got some cards up its sleeve. It's still got some tricks it can play. But this year has just been really, really good. That leads me on to Best Thriller. And I had several for this one as well. Full Metal Panic, Invisible Victory, Legend of the Galactic Heroes, The New Thesis. But best thriller this year was Steins Gate Zero.
I still haven't even finished the first one.
You should. Steins Gate I get a lot of crap because I only rated it an 8 instead of giving it a 10 because it's a masterpiece, but it's time travel, so, well, look into time travel. It's complicated, and Steins Gate didn't really do a good job with the time travel, saying that he could reset everything, but if he reset everything, he'd have to undo every single action he did, even the smallest one, because, hell, the grandfather paradox comes into play at that point. I could go into the science behind it, but most of you people don't understand the science. I'm not talking about the people who are on this show. I'm talking about all you fans.
The butterfly effect is a huge thing in that as well.
Yeah, the butterfly effect, the grandfather paradox, and when you combine the two, you end up with a very, very, very big and extremely complex set of paradoxes which the main character has to effectively undo to get back to his original timeline. Quantum Leap, right? In Quantum Leap, Scott Bakula's character ended up not being able to go back home because he'd changed too many things in the past. And so his timeline effectively no longer existed.
So it just left what, jumping through time,
no,
trying to right the wrongs.
He basically ended up at a place outside of time.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and that's why Steins Gate Zero...
Oh, I thought that was Steins Gate Zero.
No, that's Steins. That's Steins.
Zeddy's TV, we're on here.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That was Steins Gate. Steins Gate Zero actually builds on all of that.
Well, this is kind of a negative award, but it's also a positive because this is.
Are you dropping the negs here?
Why did I have to import this and it's not out in the UK award because it's actually good, and I'm looking across the pond here because it seems to be the case that America seems to be getting a lot of really good stuff. They've gotten a re-release of the original Devilman. They've gotten Space Brothers. They've had dozens upon dozens of Funimation titles. They've had almost the entire Gundam and Lupin back catalogue. But for me, the one that kind of stood out, which I don't understand why it's not out, because it was extremely popular and it was a good series, is Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid.
Yeah.
And it's a negative that I've had to import it because we have the smartphone anime, which I can't believe anybody actually wanted.
You know, I didn't want it, but we got it anyway.
Yeah, and we got multiple others where it's kind of like, did anybody want these? But then it's like, yeah, stuff like Kobayashi, that's not out officially over here. So I'm giving it an award in hopes that it might come over and everybody can enjoy it again.
We all know the industry listens to us.
Yes.
Next one, right? Yep. Yeah. I don't know what exactly to call an award for it, but I think it's cool, so I'm going to give it an award, whatever the award could be. It's one of the ones that's airing at the moment, and it's Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that one.
I'm really enjoying that at the moment. It's still airing, of course, now, and I wanted to avoid giving awards that anime that's still airing, but like, this is like, wow.
This is that one where the girl is basically invisible, isn't she?
Yeah, that's the first story arc, yeah. Like, it's basically straight and just cut, where she has to be observed to exist. But because she doesn't want to be observed, she isn't observed, doesn't exist. Therefore starts disappearing. It's like, what?
So like Schrodinger's person.
It's a bunny girl, so effectively what you have is Schrodinger's playmate.
Yeah. That's how it starts off with. And it's like, when they start getting into the actual plot and the mechanics behind it, exactly how this thing called adolescence or puberty syndrome works, and that is the thing that affects people with a big emotional response to the circumstances around them as they're going through a certain age period in time, supernatural things start happening to them.
Well,
like his little sister got bullied on the internet, therefore starts getting physical attacks on her. It's like, okay, I've had that before.
The thing about puberty syndrome, and the one thing that immediately threw me for a loop with it was, puberty syndrome is basically puberty, isn't it?
Essentially, yeah, but like, supernatural things happen to people that, go through puberty, certain people.
So puberty.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, well, it's not like, you know, you get like a certain ghost haunting you because you go through puberty.
Wasn't that American Dad where Toshi's haunted by one of his ancestors?
Yeah.
The thing about Bunny Girl is that it's very much like Monogatari in that, except it is a lot easier to get into.
It's like a combination between Haruhi and Monogatari.
Yeah. Honestly, I watched it because I was just like, oh, this sounds stupid, I'll enjoy it. And then I was just like, oh, wow, this is actually really good.
Yeah, I'm probably only highlights of the year. Like, there's probably only like two or three anime I've seen this year that I would put in front of it. But I do think it deserves an award in of itself. And I can't wait to see how and where the plot goes from here. And how it's like, you know, climaxes and finishes and like going, oh wow. I'll probably end up picking a light novel it's based on because like it's cool as hell.
Bunny of the Year. That's what you
yes.
call it.
Bunny, yeah, let's call it a Bunny of the Year award because it's cool and you could
can,
watch
can
it.
Can we make a Schrodinger's Bunny Girl of the Year? Because I like that.
Yeah, go for it. Schrodinger's just Bunny Girl of the Year. Just enjoy it, watch it, and just like enjoy the bunnies.
I've decided on my to-watch list, so I'm looking forward to that. my much maligned best live action of 2018 awards here.
Yeah.
And it's between JoJo's Diamond is Unbreakable and the live-action Gintama movie.
Okay.
And they're both equally good because everything is correct. Like, the character, the costume designs, the characters, like, mannerisms, actions, speech patterns. The actors have done a really good job. I'd say Gintama just pips JoJo. But that's on the basis that the Gintama actors, they actually went out full costume and promoted the hell out of this movie. Yeah. And you could actually believe that Gintama was just walking around Tokyo, like trying to sell this movie to people. It was that good. And I know there's been a few other, like, I don't know if the Full Metal Alchemist one this year?
Yeah. That and the Bleach one, I think, were both this year, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
I like the Full Metal Alchemist one. I'm still to watch the Bleach one. But I'm kind of put off it because the whole Bleach thing, like I say, it got on, and the fact that the longevity of it's put me off because I've sat there, I've been through all the filler, I've been through all the chapters of the manga and that, and I wasn't satisfied with that, so I don't think it's worth my time. Like, it's not up on my urgent list at the moment because I've got much better and more important things to watch.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But like I say, best live action 2018. I'll give it to Gintama.
Okay, cool. Best romantic comedy. These are all over the place, by the way, because there's four of us doing different things. But we don't care. Work your way through it.
If you want organisation, go listen to somebody who doesn't really have an opinion or anything that's not scripted.
Yeah. This is real life here. Real
fans. This is recorded in front of a live audience.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm nervous now.
There is no canned laughter.
They're
here.
Watching. They're no. watching us.
You got to do it like this. There is no canned laughter here. Ha 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 ha.
This is one of
his best romance.
Yeah.
Best romantic comedy. I've got it down to two: High Score Girl and Watakoi. And I had to give it to Watakoi because at the end of the day, that series deserves a lot more love. I don't think a lot of people realise just how good a show Watakoi is. And if you're an anime fan, then you kind of owe it to yourself to watch it because, yeah, it's not set in a high school or anything like that. It involves real working adults and things like that. But guess what? All you teenage anime fans, you're going to be real working adults soon as well.
Don't break the hopes.
In this political climate, what's the job?
They're going to be working at something, even if it's sweeping the streets.
Yeah, and shield against the riots.
Shoe factories.
Yeah. And I'm going to throw this one out there because it was the only one that I can remember from this year. Because I'm sure Restaurant to Another World was 2017, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, best cooking, Isekai Nobu. Now, it sounds like I said Isekai twice. I didn't. I said Isekai Izakaya, which is the Japanese word for pub. And Nobu is the name for the pub. It was one of those short animated series that they did. It's about a small pub in a fantasy world, but the back of the pub goes into Japan. The front of the pub opens out into this fantasy world, which I thought was a nice idea.
It's been done before.
It's not that it's been done before. See, Restaurant to Another World only opened its doors every Saturday to the fantasy world, and it had multiple doors all over the place, whereas Nobu actually has a steady stream of regular customers every day, but they're all from this fantasy world. So you have, like, from the city and things like that. You have people coming from the tax office and all sorts of people who... And they're actually well acquainted with all of the people of the city in the same way that a business would be. The difference is they're coming from modern-day Tokyo and into this medieval fantasy world, whereas these people who live in the medieval fantasy world only think that they're foreigners from a different country.
All right.
That's basically it. It's an interesting show, but if you love food, if you liked Restaurant to Another World, then you're going to like this as well.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I watched it. I basically binged the whole thing in one night.
Yeah, I mean, they're only like 12 minutes an episode.
Yeah.
It's easily manageable, and it's charming, and the food is very, very good.
Yeah, personally, I would say best cooking for me might be Golden Kamuy, to be honest. Just yeah. Because it's so different, whereas the Isekai one was... I enjoyed it, but it was too much like Restaurant to Another World. It was different, but it was kind of like, if you've seen one, I kind of felt I didn't really need to see both of them.
Thing is, for me, they were very different. And one of the reasons why I consider them both to be very different is because it's the difference between pubs and restaurants. Now, yeah. I know that line is blurring, but in Japan, there is an actual clear demarcation between between a restaurant and a pub. Here we have gastropubs and stuff like that, but you can see it in the food and in the portion size and stuff like that, and in the type of dishes that they're actually making. You know?
So they don't have Weatherspoons in Japan.
No, thankfully.
I'm ending the trilogy of physical media, and that we've had imported stuff, we've had best physical standard release, now I'm going to look at best box, and that's the best collector's edition.
Thank God you went further.
I brought it back from last year, so these are the ones where they cost quite a little bit more, and they always have to look a little bit special. However, to be honest, it's been slim pickings this year. We had Wolf Children, which looks really nice. We had Eureka 7, which I'm going to not even... And we have the one that I'm giving the award to, and that is Monster Musume.
Oh.
Because...
Hang on, are you saying that Monster Musume had the best and the prettiest box?
It did.
Are you literally saying that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it a big box, and what did it have in?
Wasn't the normal ones come with the series, an extra big box?
Okay.
A big book, and right. A few stickers or what have you. Monster Musume.
You're making it sound like a vajazzle.
Monster Musume here with the entire series. It came with all of the over years. It came with a drama CD that had been translated into English. It came with...
So when you say drama CD, is it just... Could you explain it further?
A drama CD is basically when the voice actors get together and do, like, a OVA, but it's like a radio play.
I thought it was just people, like, having drama, just, like, kicking off in arguments, and that was, like...
Yeah, so it had a big book.
Yep.
It had a big box. It had an OVA.
Drama CD.
All of the OVAs, sorry. It had the drama CD. It had a set of prints. It had a set of prints which had D&D specs for all of the monster girls. And it had the complete soundtrack.
Okay.
So compared to other stuff where you kind of get a pamphlet and a little special box, I kind of felt that they went above and beyond for the monster girls. So that's why it's getting the award for Best Collector's Edition.
Okay.
The best special box.
That's fair enough. Andrew.
Right. So probably like my next one is another one that's airing this season, and it's Zombieland Saga.
Really?
Oh, yes. That is really good.
Oh,
I'm hilarious.
I'm torn on it. Like, I'm very torn on that one.
I just think it's bloody hilarious.
I've not been as much of a fan of it as everyone else.
See, I understand that it's got.
I enjoyed it from the first episode, to be honest.
It is really fun.
Yeah. Everyone's jumping on the bandwagon of it now with the trans character. Have they not heard of a show called Wandering Sun, which actually addressed the issue of transgender in the actual show? That was the whole point of the show, was transgender issues.
Yeah, there's a lot of series that doesn't mean Tiger and Bunny had that massive thing with Fire Emblem.
Yeah, but this was even before Tiger and Bunny.
The difference is it on Crunchyroll? Are Crunchyroll hyping it up?
No, that's the difference. I mean, Wandering Sun, the manga is brilliant. The anime series was very good. It approached the whole issue of gender identity in a very sensitive way. You know?
Yeah, I'm not taking away from it, but the problem is that.
Yeah, the problem is
we fell away. It's probably not even. There's probably no way of even legally finding it anymore. On a web streaming service, at least.
You'll probably find it on YouTube, Wandering Sun.
It's a problem. I mean, it's like, what if Ranma Half came out in this day and age?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
I'm still hoping they can remake that, to be honest. I really enjoyed that series.
They probably won't.
Be careful what you wish for.
I don't reckon they will remake Ranma, because the whole issue of gender identity right now is a very toxic subject. Anyway.
Came on.
We'll talk about this later.
Yeah, it's nice. This is an animation.
Back to Zombieland Idol Saga, whatever it's called.
Yeah. See, for me, what made it was then, just from the very first episode, it's just going to be a generic little idol anime. But from the first 5 minutes, the main character gets knocked over by a bloody van. I was like, what? Oh, she's dead. Oh, she's not dead. Oh, she's got friends. Oh, they're dead. Oh, they just mind the zombies and they're just doing like a death metal compilation. Second episode, they all wake up and start doing a rap battle with each other, and like you start getting all the characters and the interactions between the characters, and it's like, and the manager, that guy's literally just playing himself. Like, that's not even voice acting, he's just playing himself.
if you listen to my The Worst of 2018, you'll see that Zombieland Saga features for the laziest dub.
I've watched some of the dub, just out of curiosity to see what they're doing, and like, it just does not give that same sort of natural vibe the voice acting does. But that's only because for the voice of the manager in Zombieland Saga, I'm convinced the guy is literally just ad-libbing the entire thing. There is no script, he's just literally just talking things off the top of his head as if he is the character, not playing the character. And that's one of the reasons I'm enjoying it, is the dialogue between the characters and the interactions between the characters. Like, it's just a generic idol anime for the most part. You know, with your very, very, very bad CGI dances and song sequences.
So is this getting a good award?
It's definitely one of my highlights of a series of the year. I find it because I like a good laugh. And it's like, okay, plus the last couple of episodes, I have been great in that, but for me, like, I don't even think it's a big deal about the whole, you know, the whole trans issue, like the way people were flocking to. It doesn't take or add anything to the actual series itself, and that's why I actually think it's a good thing. It's a good thing, but it's like, it's not really a big deal. If you get what I mean, like, fair enough, you can have these things, but when they come normalized and organic within the context of a series, or trying to make a big deal out of it when it doesn't really have anything to do with what the series is about. I'm enjoying the series, like, from episode one. It's like, I don't give a toss.
Anyway, Tucky.
I've got two, then. I've got me Tinseltown Award for Isle of Dogs.
Okay.
So that's, like, Best Hollywood animation picture, which, you know, is animation. It's puppetry.
Yeah.
And the most educational animation for 2018, Cells at Work.
Yeah, I got that one as well.
Yeah. It's got the thing is, we always go on about the amount of detail and the amount of research that goes behind a show. Cells at Work excelled. It took me for six because, you know, you never really see like a biological in a body kind of, like, I mean, the way they've made like different blood cells characters, and I mean the whole concept of it is a bit like baffling. But when you start to watch it, you actually learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've learned more from Cells at Work than any other anime I've watched.
Yeah. Any other animation I've watched throughout 2018?
I also had it as best educational, but I had one other option in best educational as well, which was Golden Kamuy.
Yeah, because I would definitely say that as well. More so the manga than the anime, but
there's still a lot you can learn from the anime as well about the history. I've got a few that I can just rattle out all as a chunk. Best fantasy and best sci-fi and best mech or giant robot, for example. So fantasy, Overlord 2 and 3 were out this year, Goblin Slayer was out this year, Karakuri Circus was out this year, That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, Makuya When the Promised Flower Blooms, Mirai, Dragon Pilot, they were all out this year. There's plenty of fantasy to choose from. If I'm going to talk about it in terms of dark fantasy, I'd have to go with something like Goblin Slayer, but I'm not going to choose that. I'm actually going to go with something that is just pure fantasy through and through. That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime.
I'd second that. I would.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like I say, with research and accuracy, the animation techniques used for animating the slime itself,
yeah,
they actually spent hours watching a bouncy ball.
Yep.
And I find that fantastic that they've actually sat there and stared at a bouncy ball and different ways it moves for hours and then took that and used it for the animation techniques. And, I mean, the story, it's got to be the best world-building anime of the year as well.
It is. After that, best sci-fi. Again, loads of different options here. Sword Art Online, Alicization, Certain Magical Index 3, which is a sci-fi, by the way. It's science fantasy more than it is science fiction, but we don't have that as a category. Gridman, or 4S Gridman, whatever. Planet With, Godzilla, City on the Edge of Battle, Full Metal Panic, Invisible Victory. But there was only one that could win it, really. And that was The Legend of the Galactic Heroes, New Thesis. And then Best Mech or Giant Robot. A couple of options here. Full Metal Panic, Invisible Victory, Skridman, or Gridman, as I'm going to call it from now on. But I went with Planet With, because I know that a lot of people are going to say, well, why did you go with that? Number one, it's based on a manga by the author who also did one of my all-time favourite manga, The Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer, and Planet With is a very strange series as it is. See, where Gridman is kind of an homage to the tokusatsu stuff, Planet With is playing around with the whole idea of mechs and with the whole idea of human existence. And I really like that. It takes some of its cues from Gurren Lagann in how it plays out, which I also liked as well. And I'm amazed that more people haven't watched it and enjoyed it.
I can't say I've watched it this year.
Yeah,
it's. I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it's not out yet, I don't think, over here. So that probably is why it hasn't been picked up as much as it should have been. But yeah.
I'm going to throw this out because I've mentioned several of these shows already. Best Action. I had, again, multiple options. Cells at Work, Goblin Slayer, Lupin the Third, Part 5, and Golden Kamuy. But there was only really one that could win here. And I've got Goblin Slayer as the runner-up. So the one that won was Karakuri Circus.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about that one. The reason
why Karakuri Circus wins in Best Action is because the action is so very different to what you expect. Goblin Slayer and the other shows, they all have what you expect. Basically, it's standardized action. It's a guy in armor killing goblins, or it's a guy in a jumpsuit killing invading cells, or in Lupin, you know what to expect in Lupin anyway. Golden Kamuy, fist fights and gunfights and stuff like that. It's all of those things, but in Karakuri Circus, they fight with puppets. You have robot clowns fighting puppets.
It's like a reverse mecha, really, isn't it?
It's string puppets as well.
Marionette showdown.
It literally is marionette showdown, but this is the thing. Karakuri Circus is a very dark series, and it's by the creator of Ushio and Tora, so yes, okay, it's not as compact and as faithful an adaptation as That Type of Got Reincarnated as a Slime, but it's still very good. Anyway, Mark.
So I've got an award for returning series or ongoing series, and there's only four in this category, and that's Overlord Season 2, because I haven't watched Season 3, because I'm trying to light novel it first and then watch the animation. Full Metal Panic Season 4.
Yeah.
One Piece surprisingly got back in. The animation on the last few episodes, for especially the Luffy versus Katakuri fight, has been exceptional.
Yeah.
And the one I'm actually awarding it to is Lupin Part 5, just because it's still Lupin, it's still completely different to anything else that's out there. And the last few episodes, you could tell, was an absolute love letter to the series on a whole.
Yeah.
They brought back stuff from like 30 years ago and made it relevant again. They like referenced like random jokes that they did like years and years ago. And there was a whole episode where basically it was the creators talking as Lupin and Jigen. And you could tell that like there was a lot of love put into this series. And they're like, we're never going to stop doing it because we love doing it.
Yeah.
And I feel that because of that, that deserved it more than pretty much anything else, which was kind of like, yeah, this is popular, or yeah, this is still going on. We're going to keep on doing it.
You'll hear no complaints from me on that front.
For continuous, for me, it would have been out of Black Clover or My Hero Academia.
As to be fair, the first part of like the third season of My Hero Academia was actually pretty damn good.
Well, My Hero only gets it because of the fandom, and it's a terrible thing to say because the fandom can be absolutely terrible at times, but the impact that My Hero's had on the real world, I think that's very notable for a series.
It is.
Black Clover's also in there because it has got good, and the patience and time that you put into watching it, it's starting to pay off now.
I think that the impact of My Hero Academia, the movie, and My Hero Academia as a series, I think is going to be a lot less than anyone believes it is at the moment. And I think hindsight and time will prove that point. I think the show that is going to catch everybody by surprise, because it's already catching everybody by surprise, is A Place Further Than the Universe. That's already getting the attention of people in the West in a way that My Hero Academia hasn't. And I'm not talking about the fans in the West. I'm talking about people with actual, real executive power in media.
Well, go ahead.
My Hero Academia, they've actually been doing a lot of polls in Jump as of late. And My Hero Academia has not been doing as well as people would expect it to.
Yeah.
It's actually, well, One Piece on its own. Then it's all of the new ones, Promised Neverland, Dr. Stone.
Promised Neverland is a superb series.
It's amazing. Kimetsu no Yaiba.
Yeah.
Demon Slayer. Those three are the ones that are then after One Piece. Then it's Black Clover.
Mm.
And then it's My Hero Academia. Whereas if you ask over here, you would probably find My Hero Academia's a lot more higher.
Yeah. It's because a lot of the Western fans look at Black Clover and treat it in the same way as, say, Fairy Tail or something like that. But that's not actually the case. And because they've not kept up with Black Clover, they don't know how very different it is.
People will put off Black Clover because of the way the main character screamed in the first few episodes.
Yeah. But it doesn't
really, and if you can't get someone to stay after the first few episodes, you've got very little chance, unfortunately. Well,
they're missing out. Their narrow-mindedness and like the ease of consumption these days, you know, give someone a chance. You never know what will surprise you.
It really comes down to, though, how much do you give something a chance? I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'll give it the first three or four episodes and I dropped it, but I have started reading it again.
I would be honest. I'd say it depends on the length of the series. If it's a 12-episode series, then give it 2 episodes, right?
Yeah.
If it's a 24-episode series, give it 5 or 6 episodes. If it's a 50-plus episode series, then you need to watch around 10 to 13 episodes before you can actually make a proper judgment call.
So at least the first season.
No, that's 100 episodes. If it's 100 episodes plus, you need to watch a season. If you're going to be fair about something, then you can't just watch 1 or 2 episodes of 100 episode plus series and say, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. Hunter, I watched the first episode. It wasn't for me. It's 100 and how many episodes? And you watch, which basically means if you just watched 1 episode of that and decided you didn't like it, you watched less than 1% of that show, and you decided you didn't like it based on less than 1%, if I walked up to a person in the street and I knew like their first initial, right? I knew that their name started with a H or something like that, and I didn't like them because their name started with a H. Would that be logical?
Sorry, Harold.
I think for a lot of people, though, we've got to realise that a lot of people don't have time to sit and watch 10 to 13 episodes in hopes that it's going to get good.
I'm not saying that they have the time. I'm saying have a look at it and be objective. Don't just suddenly decide. Be fair. Instead of being your typical childish selves, look at it and say, okay, I didn't like the first episode. It wasn't for me. But I'm not going to badmouth it and say it's absolute trash because I'm not in a position to judge that. That's all I'm saying.
We've all seen fans like that. It's one story from when I started up Tuckies Anime. I did like a kind of like a focus group asking people, and one guy turned around and says, "Not to bother getting One Piece merch in because it's terrible." And that guy is a douche because I actually gave One Piece a try. This was like about 4 weeks in. Because I took his advice because, you know, it's a customer focus group and, you know, if they're going to be customers, then you're going to have to do what they want. So I gave One Piece a try and I'm like, that guy's an absolute dickhead.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Get lost here. Reet. It's probably for me, like, the big grand, like, best of the best award for me, like, the most enjoyed anime of the year for me is probably Megalobox. Like, just flat out, I just really enjoyed it. Just everything about it, the whole retro feel, the animated sequence of the fights, the music, and also the kind of the vibe of the story, like, you know, the underdog rising up was just classic. No, it's the 50th anniversary of like Shooting on Joe, and like I think it's a good little homage to it, but I think it does well enough to stand on its own two feet rather than in the shadow of a Shooting on Joe.
I've got to agree with you. I mean, I watched it based on your recommendation, and I thought it was a really interesting and actually quite a good homage to Ashita Nojo. I like the fact that they modelled the design of the character. You can see it in certain ways that the character moves and the certain way the character looks that he's been modelled on Joe.
Yeah.
There are certain sequences, there are certain items, there are loads of little nods to Ashita Nojo in the series, and if you've seen Ashita Nojo or Ashita Nojo 2, you'll actually see some of those. You know, you'll actually recognize some of the little, some of the little tells, some of the little nods, some of the little references. And when it comes to that sort of thing, when it comes to those sorts of references, I prefer the way they're done in Megalobox to say Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Well, it's in your face.
I'm gonna get that dig in there.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the series. Like, there's no like posh way of putting it. There's no like intricate loads of words to say about it. There's no like high way to praise. It's like damn good series.
Why are you saying posh way to put it?
I don't know. It's like, say if you think like a word to praise, have like an essay, LSANR8. This is why I enjoyed it. Here's a 5,000 word explanation.
You don't need to worry about that. That's my job.
I suppose.
You're trying to take my work away from me.
It's like, it kind of feels wrong in a way. They literally just say, I just enjoyed the series, when rightfully I would think that I should explain it a little bit more. But it's like, a lot of the things just grasp us, as I said, the retro feel, the soundtrack, the nods to the whole classic sort of anime sort of vibes that I grew up watching. Cool as hell. Plus awesome. The animation, but in the fights, and that was just absolutely solid. Like, how an action sports the anime should be for me.
Awesome. So, Tucky.
Right, I'm down to the last three awards. So,
Just before Tucky, like, just a little bit of trivia for you. The opening for a Megalobox, the like, opening track, is in the time signature of 5-4.
Okay.
Just music trivia for you. Yeah.
Sorry, I've got no idea about. I'm sure the listeners will understand. So, the last three awards for me. I'll get the Not On Your Radar 2018.
Yeah.
And this is for an anime which isn't talked about as much like mainstream. And I don't think we've ever touched on it, but it's definitely worth a watch when you get the chance. It's After the Rain.
Oh, damn it. Yes.
That was really good.
It's the thing is, like, I like animes that make you think.
Yeah.
I do. And I know like the whole melancholy of it could put people off, but I'll tell you something, like, you know, if you ignore the age gap romance like premise that it has, it's a great journey. And like I say, I'm surprised this hasn't been talked about a lot more, especially because it definitely deserves a bit of recognition. And, you know, it wasn't on my radar for the most of the year until about September. And then it's like, oh, so what's this? Have a look. Bang. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so that's the Not On Your Radar one. And the second from last award I have here is the Streamer of the Year. And that goes to Netflix. Streamer or Platform of the Year, should I say.
Yeah.
So, because last year it was Crunchyroll, for obvious reasons. Funimation still has not improved one bit. This is speaking from the UK perspective, by the way, because I don't like get High Dive. I've got no
High Dive's UK.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've always thought it was an American thing, so I've stayed away from it.
No, it's UK stuff. But to be honest, a lot of the stuff I think now is going on to Crunchyroll. So
yeah. Well, it's crucial. Like Funimation's streaming has not improved in the slightest. In fact, it's exactly the same platform it was like 12 months ago. And I said back then, look, it needs improving. You need to look at what like other companies are doing and cherry pick the best parts that are working for them and then take it forward. And they haven't. Whereas Netflix, they've won it on more the content side. The amount of series that they're, I mean, we'll put Neo Yorkio to one side for a bit, but, you know, majority of what they're bringing out is absolutely amazing. And it's been consistent from like the beginning to the end of 2018, top-notch stuff. And that's why Netflix gets my Streamer of the Year award.
Oh, Tucker, you could have did a pun there. You could have been saying it's been consistent from the beginning.
No. The catalogue, it's so much good stuff. I mean, Castlevania was a highlight for me. But obviously we've touched on Devilman Crybaby being in there. I think we've mentioned Dragon Pilot as well. That was in there. And there's just so much more. And, you know, the live action adaptations as well of stuff. Oh, what was the one with the gambling girl? Kakuri.
Yeah.
That was some madness.
Yeah. Oh, aye. That was great.
But yeah, it's all good stuff. I mean, I don't know. Like I say, I haven't used High Dive or any of the others, but like Crunchyroll, Funimation, Netflix. It's got to be Netflix.
Yeah. Not even just that. It's like, was it put on Netflix this year? Or was it last year? Like Gundam Unicorn was put in there?
That was this year.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a hell of a series.
Yeah. Okay, so me then, is it?
Yep.
So, best slice of life. Obviously, I had Laid Back Camp and Psyche K and Violet Evergarden because it is a slice of life. Even though it's a drama, it is a slice of life. And I know that a lot of people didn't like this or didn't see it the way I did. And I know that Laid Back Camp really should have got this. But I knew that everyone was going to give best slice of life to Laid Back Camp. And I thought, yeah, I've got to give some love to the other one. Gaku and Babysitters.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I remember I was just like, which one is it? I thought you were being a near place further in the universe. I was like, yeah, that's fair enough.
No. Gaku and Babysitters. Everyone forgets that it was out this year and that it exists. But it is a slice of life. It's got some drama to it, but in general, it's quite a lighthearted slice of life. Okay, it's not as lighthearted as Laid Back Camp, but...
it's got adorable kids in.
Who do all sorts of bizarre stuff. Best surreal, I had two options here. Skull-faced bookseller Honda-san.
Oh, yes.
And here in the UK, it is going by the name MFKZ. But its full name is actually Mutafukaz, right? And I had to give it to Mutafukaz because Mutafukaz is, it's very, very bizarre.
Fun to see as well.
Yes. And I'm allowed to say it because the official name is Mutafukaz, in the same way that Alan Titchmarsh was allowed to call things a bastard trench because there is a type of trench called a bastard trench.
Well, if it works.
He said it on ITV, I think it was ITV daytime TV, and he said it repeatedly. Everyone's looking at her like, no, that's the official name. It's called a bastard trench.
Well, you can probably see it anyways, because by technicality, I think we're past the watershed.
Daytime TV's, checking people's bollocks on Good Morning Britain now, so...
There's a show on Netflix called Schitt's Creek, I can get away with this. It's great. Anyway.
So elaborate.
Before we get to the big ones then, the final one that I just want to get out of the way here is Best Adaptation, which nobody has actually mentioned so far yet. And I had a few on the books there, Hinamatsuri, Golden Kamuy, Karakuri Circus, but I've got to say, and I know Golden Kamuy has been an exceptional adaptation as well, but I think That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime just pips it in terms of the level of detail.
I would agree, because I've actually got Golden Kamuy on the Made Me Want to Read the Manga award for season 2, because it skips like half the series.
Yeah.
But yeah, I completely agree with Slime. It's been fantastic, to the point that I was very concerned that, because it took 8 episodes to go through volume 1, I was very worried that they were going to blow through another 3 or 4 volumes, like, with doing, like, very quickly.
No, they're taking the time, and I'm actually glad about that. But Karakuri Circus was a bit of a concern, because they basically skipped out like 50 chapters of the manga in one section, because there's a whole section where Narumi... This is a bit of a spoiler, so if you haven't seen Karakuri Circus, close your ears now if you are planning to watch it. There's a section where they think Narumi is dead in an explosion, but he actually winds up in France, and then from France he actually goes to America. And they kind of skipped that entire section, or compressed it all into one. It all happened very, very quickly, you see. But anyway, on to you, Mark.
I've got Best Movie. For fairness sakes, I've picked out of these best movies, all of the ones are ones that you could legally see. So Something Something Tank Girls will not be in this year's running. but I've got Gundam Thunderbolt, Makuya, Mirai, Pokemon, this year's movie, Penguin Highway, Isle of Dogs, and I didn't see it, but I heard nothing but great things about Eat Your Pancreas.
It's not even out this year.
It was out in Scotland Loves Anime, so there was a legal way you could go and see it if you want to make the trek.
I believe they're currently dubbing the English version, and Erica Mendez is directing it, I believe.
Mm. Well, I heard nothing but really good things about it from people who did get to see it. So, to be honest, out of all of them are worth going to see or picking up on Blu-ray or whatever. Pokemon was surprisingly really good, considering it's a Pokemon movie. Isle of Dogs is probably the best Western side of things. I'm going to overall give it to Mirai, just because of how fantastically detailed it was.
Yeah.
Very much went into the older brother getting pushed, or feeling like he's getting pushed out of the family, and then kind of learns that he's not the only one in that situation. Like, for example, the dog also felt that it was getting pushed out.
Yeah.
And it's just him coming to terms with things and learning how to be a big brother. It was that good. I've actually went to see it 3 times at the cinema when it was on. It was that good, and I'll happily go and see it again if they put it back on.
I'll be honest, Mirai is very, very good.
The other one as well, which I probably should have mentioned, was Mary and the Witch's Flower. I forgot about that one. That one was good as well.
I heard good things about that one. Yeah, I'll have to get out there next year, and that if they bring like more of these showings to some of the local cinemas.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Mark, what was the other thing?
Oh, that's Best Overall Series. I had a short list for this. I kind of worked with new stuff rather than stuff that had been out.
Yeah.
That's why I give the other ones a separate one. But Best New Series, I've got in the shortlist, I've got Place Further Than the Universe, Golden Kamuy Season 1, Slime, Isekai, Devilman Crybaby, Violet Evergarden, And unsurprisingly, I'm giving the award to Laid Back Camp, just because it's one of those series that there's no frills, there's no urgency. If you're having a bad day, you can stick an episode on and just chill out a little bit. And it's kind of what we need in this this horrible world at the moment.
On that note, Andrew, you got anything you want to add to that? Your favourite of the year was Megalobox. Any others that you want to choose?
Probably movie-wise, it's probably the new Pokemon. I went to see I Choose You last year as well, and I was very, very surprised as to how good that was, and I like the retro vibe. That was what the Pokemon movie should have been over all these years. It's taken, 20 years to get a good Pokemon movie since, the first couple. And this year's Power of Us somehow went above that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's the shock. It's like, I went in, it was just oh, it's Pokemon. It's like, oh, yeah. I'll go see it. And it's like, oh, wow, this is actually really good.
I think it was not just so much the shock and that. It's like, obviously, there's a reason going to see the movie in the first place and that, rather than just, oh, it's a Pokemon movie. I'm going to see something, even though I'm not sure I'm going to enjoy it. There's something that draws you in to at least give it the chance and that, to give it the chance.
Yeah.
And but there's just something about it, the animation style. Because obviously they've changed the animation style over the Sun and the Moon series into something that's completely different from what we've been used to over all these years. It's felt a lot more retro. I don't know what it was exactly about it that gave it that retro feel, but it felt like a very good successor, not only to the way I Choose You from last year, but also the first Pokemon movie all those years ago. And just made us think that is how you should do an animated movie. My Hero Academia, take some bloody notes. It's there's nothing really more to say about it. That is just how an anime movie should be.
Awesome. See, I haven't actually been to see the new Pokemon movie. It kind of really slipped under my radar.
Yeah, it was, to be honest, it was very empty in there, considering the one last year was full.
One last year was very well advertised. The one this year, I only found out about 2-3 days before it actually aired.
This one this year went under the radar because they threw it under the bus to promote My Hero Academia instead. Yeah. And honestly, out of the two, Pokemon's the one that probably deserved the advertisement.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. It was just a much better movie outright, much better adaptation of the franchise. Take nothing away from how much, how much of an impact and how much of an effect My Hero Academia as a movie has had. It's broke box office records over in America. It's the computer of mainstream Hollywood movies.
Yeah, but that's still kind of giving it more praise than maybe it deserves. I know that there's a lot of people. There are a lot of people who are giving it a second or third watch and finding that it's not as good as they remembered, even though they might have just watched it 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's... the thing I don't like badmouth it because I've got two of me big guests for next year's events are main voice actors in it.
Oh no, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. This is the thing. I'm saying it's a bit too generic for me. I prefer movies to be something a bit more interesting and complicated.
Yeah, for me, it's nothing that makes this as an anime movie stand out from adaptations of a Fairy Tale, Bleach, Naruto.
I would argue different. To be honest, I felt that Bleach, Naruto, Fairy Tail, One Piece, Girls and Panzer, Psycho Pass, almost anything else felt like it was a movie quality. For example, the Fate one, I wasn't a huge fan of it, but the deal did feel like a movie quality. Whereas My Hero Academia felt like, well, we need to pad out the anime, so we'll take this filler out and we'll slap it on the big screen because it's popular. And the animation quality was not anywhere better than the actual series was.
Thought was worse, to be honest. Yeah.
Okay, before we move on to Tucky, because we've got limited time left, I just want to make one comment. Mark, please don't say things about slapping filler all over the big screen.
especially after the comment about pitching a tent.
In big boxes.
Yes, Tucky.
Yes. So, this is my top dog award. We've touched on it quite a bit.
Oh dear!
It's a place further than the universe for me, and like we say, it came out in January. It was beginning of the year stuff, and for the thing is, I still have feelings about how everything went down in the series, and even though it's four girls, like going to the South Pole. I kind of feel like, you know, that's something that could happen in real life. How it all went down. The fact that, you know, her mother was one of the explorers originally, and then she got lost, and like she just wants to, you know, go there, find her mother, find out, like, you know, what actually happened. And it was a journey, and it was a really good journey, because you find like the different things, like how you have to go through like a rough patch of sea before you actually hit the South Pole itself, how you've got to go through and break all the ice. The fact that you get static shock because the air's that thin.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this because last winter we had the whole snowstorm thing and everybody was snowed in and I was getting static shocks all the time. And it wasn't until I watched this anime that I found out it's because it's the thin air caused by like the cold conditions.
Yeah.
So it was educational as well. But the whole story, the plot, the characters, the animation quality, and the thing is, like, I don't believe this had any like an original manga source or anything. It was all by Madhouse.
Yeah.
And you know, well done to Madhouse for it, because for it to stay with me for so long and to be so memorable that I could actually like pluck it out of the air and say, right, this is the one for the year for me. Laidback Camp was along like a similar vein. And it was more relaxed, but that was more like slice of lifey kind of. It was mellow, but what for me, placed further in the universe, the emotion was the thing that won it for me.
Yeah,
it's like I say, you have to watch it. If you haven't watched it, please get yourselves on there and watch it. Don't always go for what Crunchyroll or Funimation, you know, or any of the gifts, yeah, the meme bait that's flung at you through the year. Don't just go for the mainstream shows that they want you to watch. Head out of that comfort zone. Go for a place further in the universe. Go for animes like Laidback Camp and that. You know, actually, like, explore a bit.
To be honest, I'm actually going to point out that Crunchyroll really did hype up Place Further Than the Universe.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were really, really hyping it up. That and Laidback Camp are basically their babies for the year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Laidback Camp and Place Further Than the Universe, Crunchyroll were actually on the production committee.
That's one of the reasons why I was staying quiet while Tucky was on his soapbox.
No.
Anyway, got mine to do. So, best movie, the options I had from the things that I've seen this year, Mirai, Mutafuka's Makuya, Isle of Dogs, and Spider-Man.
Multiverse.
Yep, Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse. And I've got to say, I actually had two winners here. Technically three winners. If we're sticking purely with anime, it would have to be Mirai. But if we're including Western animation, then Isle of Dogs, just because the sheer quality of the animation. Mirai because, well, who's not going to give Mamoru Hosoda an award?
You make it sound like you're some kind of gangster.
It was Mamoru Hosoda, wasn't it, Mirai?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse because, well, watch the movie. And you'll understand exactly why I think it deserves awards. It's a Spider-Man movie. It's a superhero movie. It might not be telling a deep personal story about family and things like that. It might not be about a boy searching for his lost dog and have the highest standard of stop-motion animation. But Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is a movie that has something that is very, very rare in award-winning movies. It's got a level of rewatchability that you will not find. You could watch Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse every day for a month and still not be bored of it.
Does it nail the humour?
Yes, absolutely does. It doesn't just nail the humour, it nails all of the different spider people. And I use the word spider people because you have Spider-Gwen, you have Penny Parker, who has the giant robot, you have Spider-Man Noir, who for some reason this time has a hat. You have Miles Morales, you have Peter Parker, you've got Spider-Ham, or Peter Porker. He's a spider that was bitten by a radioactive pig.
I know. Like I say, this, they did the Spider-Verse thing in the Ultimate Spider-Man animation.
Yeah.
Did they have like Scarlet Spider there, or Medieval Knight Spider-Man?
They didn't have Spider-Knight and Scarlet Spider and things like that, but you can see that the Ultimate Spider-Man Spider-Verse stuff is a big influence on this. But best series had, again, options for this. Dragon Pilot, A Place Further Than the Universe. That time it got reincarnated as Slime Violet Evergarden. But It was really only one winner this year, and Tucky's already said what it is, a place further than the universe. There's no real... I mean, as good as that time I got reincarnated as a slime is, as good as Violet Evergarden is, as good as Dragon Pilot is, as good as all of the other shows we've mentioned are, a place further than the universe is something that is just a step above in every sense.
It's not often you get genuine quality in anime.
Yeah. Would you agree with that, Tucky?
No, 110%, as Louis Walsh would say. Like I say, a place for the university, I cannot say enough or sing its praises high enough. I got to literally just smatter a sign of I love Further Than the Universe, hang it off the Wii and Mouth Bridge.
Yeah.
I am that much in love with this anime, and it's going to be one of the very few that I actually go out and buy on Blu-ray or DVD, whatever comes out. If they've got a big box, I'll have a big box of it.
Yeah. A Place Within the Universe is worth buying and owning and keeping because it's got a deep, emotional and powerful story. It's got exceptional characters and characterization. It has really good production values. It has eminent rewatchability. And it's got some really good camera work. And it has some of the best wide panoramic shot, especially when they go to Antarctica.
It was the one scene with the Aurora Borealis.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it Aurora Borealis on the south?
The Sunlight Aurora Coriolis, is it? I think it's Aurora Coriolis because it's in the south.
Yeah.
The correct term's Aurora Australis.
Aurora Australis, is it?
Yeah.
All right, no worries.
Put it out there for the people that are listening.
There is, yeah. Is that us all?
That's us all done.
Out?
Yes, that's us all awarded out. That's us. We'll be back next week. Until then, I have been Rob.
I've been Tucky.
I've been Andrew. See you at the bar.
And I've been Mark.
And we'll see you all later.
Bye. You actually mean the bar thing, because you know I'm gasping for a drink right now.
Well.
The dehydration is real.
See, the thing that Andrew doesn't realise is he's mentioned the bar, which means it's his round.
Aha!